Our third study in the book of Acts brings us to chapter 3, verse 11. And remember last time that Peter and John, now the church is brand new, and Peter and John did a miracle in the name of Jesus. They caused a man who had been lame from birth to walk. And everybody was amazed because they all recognized him, you know, as the one who had been lame, I should say. And so with that, Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And we pick it up in verse 11. It says, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. Well, clearly, the people are amazed at what they had seen. And the man who had been healed, well, just look at the affection that this man had for the apostles. And of course, God deserves all the credit. And Peter will give him the credit shortly. But still, the more we allow God to use us to help others, the more people will appreciate us as well. And that's not really a bad thing either, as long as we're very quick to give God the credit. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? No one is so godly as to not need the power of the Holy Spirit to do good for God. Our good is a product of God's grace. Our good is a product of the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And that's why God always deserves all the credit for any good that we do. And so Peter is quickly giving God credit for the healing of this man. 13. He says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. Peter is speaking the truth with boldness, and this is just carrying over from last time. He says, you people, you Israelites, are responsible for killing Jesus, God's chosen one. And that's true. The Jews killed God's son. But so did Rome. And we are also responsible because he died for our sins. 14. But you denied the Holy One, I should say you denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. They murdered the Son of God and set the murderer free. How twisted is that? Murder the Son of God is what they yelled, and set the murderer free. That was their sinful demand. You can tell a lot about people by the choices that they make, because everyone has a free will. And so it says again in 14 and 15, but you denied the Holy One, the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. And to this we are witnesses. Notice they killed the author of life. Killing the one who gives life is spiritual insanity. You know, the old story about killing the goose that lays the golden egg? That's bad enough, but how about killing the author of life? Killing the one who gives life? That's insane. You know, something that hideous can only be done by a depraved soul. 16, to this we are witnesses. Peter says, and in his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Peter believed that Jesus heard him and was watching him. Right here. Peter was an extension of Christ on earth because he was an apostle. Peter had faith in the name of Jesus, and he put that faith into action by using it to heal this man. We can never see God move. We can never see God do miracles if we do not have faith in Christ and therefore do not ask him for help. 17. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. And this verse is one reason I am compelled to pray, study, and teach God's word. Much trouble today among God's people comes from ignorance of God's word. 18. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. One of the great things about God is that he can take evil and use it to bring about good. Sinful man murdered God's son. But God used his son's death to redeem the world. Look how God can take something horrible and use it for good. And the same thing is true with our sins. Our sins are terrible. There is no justification for them. There is no excuse for them. But if we repent, God can use it to bring about something good. Verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. God will not forget a sin that has not been repented of. There must be sorrow over sin and a turning away from that sin in order for it to be forgiven. That is repentance. Sorrow for sin and turning away from sin. And unless there is repentance and confession, there can be no refreshment, as Peter states here, for a person's soul. There has to be repentance, then there's confession, and then you find refreshment for your soul. 19 through 21. Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoration, restoring all of the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Well, when the Israelites as a nation realize that they killed God's son, When it finally dawns on them, and when they repent of that sin, that is when Jesus Christ will return. So, when you see the nation Israel turning to Christ as a body, get ready. That's like God saying, on your mark, get ready, get set. Verse 22. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. And the prophet Moses predicted would come is more than a prophet. He is also the Son of God. And so again, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. People who do not listen to the words of Christ are making a fatal mistake. God will not show the willfully rebellious any mercy. Talking about people who know the truth and willfully reject it. 24. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. There was no good reason for the Israelites to miss who Jesus was. All the prophets in the Old Testament spoke of him. The Israelites missed Jesus because their hearts were hardened to the point, I should say to the truth, because of their sin. That is why they missed Jesus, their Messiah. They didn't recognize him. He didn't hide himself from them. He didn't, as one man is saying today, so-called Christian, that Jesus hid the truth that he was the Messiah to the people Israel. That's not true. The Israelites missed Jesus because their hearts were hardened to the truth because of their sin. Unconfessed sin causes us to miss the best that God has for us. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. It's written in the Word of God. Clear as a bell, 25. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, Saint Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And that key offspring or descendant of Abraham through whom all the people on earth would be blessed is our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who Abraham was speaking of. Or I should say that is who God was speaking of when he talked to Abraham about his descendants. Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. Through Jesus, all the people of the earth will be blessed if they turn to him. Not every person in the world will be saved, but all have the opportunity because of the redemption Christ purchased for us on the cross. 26. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Wickedness is plural here, which is important because it means that God demands that we turn away from our sins, plural, and not just the single sin of rejecting Christ. And that's not being unreasonable. That is God being holy, because holiness is who he is. It is the most essential characteristic of God. It's the one thing that sets him apart from all of creation. So, God saying here in verse 26 that he demands repentance, turning away from our sins, again, is not being unreasonable. It's God being not just holy, but it's also God being nice. Because holiness is the only way any of us can experience complete and full joy. Now, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Well, Satan here calls out his big guns in an attempt, anyway, to intimidate the apostles. They're going to try to do that. Verse 2. Greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees would be especially annoyed with the apostles saying that Christ came back from the dead, because they didn't believe in life after death. They were annoyed. You know, no matter how nice you speak truth, some will still be annoyed because it threatens to hamper their lifestyle. Verse 3. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They arrested them. and they put them in jail for the night. They could not try them because it was night, and it was illegal for the Jews to have a trial after dark. So they're waiting for morning. In verse 4, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. After only two sermons from God's word, and in spite of persecution, in spite of threats from the establishment, the church numbers 5,000 men, plus women and children. Outward persecution always backfires on the devil. A much more effective way to hurt the church is to get ministers to water down truth so that it appeals to so-called Christians who long to be accepted by the world more than by God. If Satan can get a preacher to be afraid of losing his job from teaching the word, he has a stranglehold on that church. 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And this is the same bunch that a couple of months earlier tried and condemned Jesus, knowing that he was an innocent man. And the apostles may be thinking, okay, now it's our turn to be crucified. But that didn't stop them from preaching the truth. They will obey Christ. They will speak the truth and accept whatever comes. Look at 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Peter has preached two sermons and healed one paralyzed man. And these religious leaders want to know what's going on. They didn't give Peter permission to do those things. And they want to know who did. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. And so Peter, as we see, is once again filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time thing, as we see. It's not a one-time thing. As soon as we slip and are influenced by our sin nature, we should repent and once again ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. The only chance we have of living the right way is to have the Holy Spirit controlling us, and that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 9. Peter continues, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Well, Peter was not vague, was he? Or diplomatic in his teaching. Spirit-filled people are not vague about anything concerning God. They are full of God, and they speak the truth with love, but with boldness. And Peter's words will offend some, but that's between them and God. Verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. They had rejected Christ. The Jews had rejected their Messiah, but God raised him and put him in charge of the church. Jesus did not try to be accepted by the world, or the religious establishment for that matter. His big concern was to be accepted by the Father, and he was. And one of the most pathetic sights is a Christian who says they believe the Bible, who says that they are an evangelical, but then tries to be cool in the eyes of the world. Cool or uncool isn't even the issue. Live for God, speak truth, be good, and let what happens happen. That's what Jesus did. 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's not my truth. That's not my truth. That's not narrow-minded even. That is truth. And it is everyone's truth. Whether they choose to accept it or not doesn't change the fact. 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John didn't have formal religious training. They were fishermen. But they sure spent a lot of time with Jesus, which is more important than formal religious training. Now, the world may not accept that for credentials, but it doesn't matter, because God will use a person who spends time with Christ. 14. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. Evidence that there was power in the name of the resurrected Christ was standing right before them in the person of this healed man. They had truth. They just refused to accept truth. 15. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." The Lord's enemies admit that in the name of Christ a great miracle has been done, and they don't know what to do as a result of that miracle. They don't know what to do. Isn't that something? Their sin-loving, truth-hating, stubborn hearts wouldn't let them do the simple, logical thing, which would be repent and confess that they had murdered God's Son. That's the simple and logical thing. But they're not going to do it. 17. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. Well, they were not trying to protect the people from spiritual error, which is what they should have been doing. That was their job. They didn't want the popularity of Christ to spread through the apostles, because if it does, then they will lose popularity. They're still jealous of Jesus. That's why they put him to death in the first place. Can't shut him down because he's God. And he's still growing in popularity, even though he had ascended into heaven. And they continued to try to squash the message of Christ, and they continued to fail. 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Don't ever talk about Jesus again, they said. We forbid you to teach that he is the Son of God. And you cannot say, "We killed God's Son, and that the Father raised him from the dead. You just can't say that. It is bad to reject Christ, which is what they did. It is worse to prevent others from hearing the message of Christ, which is what they are trying to do. You want to damn yourself to hell? Go ahead. But you better not hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ from going to others so that they can be saved from hell. 19. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge." It is a truth that shouldn't have to be taught, that we should listen to God and obey Him rather than someone who tells us to do something contrary to God's will. I mean, this should go without saying, right? It's a truth that shouldn't even have to be taught, that we ought to listen to God instead of somebody who tells us to do something contrary to God. 20. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They had to proclaim that Christ was raised from the dead and that He was the only Savior. Jesus commanded them to do that, and the Holy Spirit compelled them to do that, and they would be miserable, therefore, if they didn't. The stakes are too high, and the consequences too severe for us not to speak the truth and follow the way of truth, no matter what that means for us personally. 21. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. The leaders wanted to punish the apostles, but they were too cowardly. They were politicians, not statesmen. They would only do what the majority of people approved of. And in this case, their cowardice worked out well because it kept them from doing wrong to the apostles. Sometimes politicians appear to be moral when in reality they are not. They're just riding a wave of public opinion that happens to be the right opinion. And that was the case here. Not always the case with politicians. I didn't mean to say that. But sometimes it is, and that was the case here. 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And it doesn't say, but I bet the apostles were thrilled to report that they told the religious leaders about Christ. They were not intimidated by those who could only kill the body. It's like Jesus said, don't be intimidated by those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. So, the apostles were thrilled to report. Not so much that they were threatened, but that they had an opportunity to tell the religious leaders about Jesus and salvation through Christ. 24. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They spoke their prayer. They lifted their voices when they prayed. Thinking a prayer is good, but I think it is better, if possible, to speak our prayers, because talking helps maintain the focus. So they're talking to God, the whole group, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." And it says in verse 25, "Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit." The words of David, the words David wrote down in the book of Psalms, like the other Old Testament books, are the words of God. God spoke through David. The human writers of the Bible were not great philosophers or great intellects. They were ordinary men given words to write by God himself. And so that's why it says, "Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed." The world hated Christ. They could not wait to nail him to the cross. They raged, and their rage didn't stop until he was dead. But it was useless. It was vain. It was a waste of time to think that killing Jesus would defeat God and stop the word of God from being true. And that's why God says, "Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain?" You know, you wasted your time. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. And the anointed is Jesus. The rulers met together to plot the arrest and murder of Christ. It was against Jesus they plotted. And it was against God the Father that they plotted. And that is very foolish. To fight against God is to live on the edge of damnation. Because God wins every time. His holiness prevails. It is a vain thing to fight against God and to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ.